We got overrun on one of the targets, and I had been blown up into a room. I thought I was dying, and I had heard myself say, "You're dead." I could remember me repeating, "I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead." And my body's like, "Yep, if you want to be dead, just keep saying that because we're not going to respond." Like all my cells were like, "Okay, we're just going to sit here." And my wife and my, I was having dreams about my, literally you have dreams when you're dying about your family. That's, I've heard everybody say that. And in that half a second that seemed like a lifetime, my wife, Stacy, grabbed my face in my dream and said, "Don't fear dying. It makes you weak. I want you to fight your way back to us. Either come fight, but don't sit there." That was how I processed what she was saying. And I rallied. And in the process of rallying, I found out that simple wins.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Today's guest, Navy SEAL Tom Shea, served for 23 years with distinguished valor, earning a Silver Star, a Bronze Star with Valor, and a Presidential Unit Citation. The author of Three Simple Things, Leading During Chaos, and the founder of Unbreakable Leadership, tells Joe the three key principles to thrive in chaotic times and his six-hour daily baseline for success.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Gone Rogue High Protein Chips. Visit Amazon or GoneRogueSnacks.com and use the promo code Spartan25 to get 25% off.
Joe DeSena here, founder and CEO of Spartan. And I've got a special guest on the Spartan Up podcast today, Tom Shea, 23-year retired Navy SEAL. This guy is a badass. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks, Joe. And brother, I apologize that we were not in or unable to get you down here for the shoot. Past 2 days, we were shooting out past a mile, and it would have been fun to let you experience that.
You know, the funny thing is, I wish I was down there shooting with you. My friend sent me a text yesterday, an image of, a sketched out figure that he was shooting from 50 yards. He was shooting an AR-15. And just funny that you're out there shooting. I'm getting people are sending me text messages of targets they're hitting. So there's a lot of shooting going on right now.
Well, it's hunting season, so everybody's all enamored with guns. I only get a small amount of time that I can go do it, and I take advantage of it.
Because you're writing books most of the time.
No, you know, that's just because I have two books out doesn't mean I write a lot. I spent a lot of time helping leaders during challenging moments, and that's what I do for a living now.
Well, I am challenged, and I'm trying to be a good leader. So I'm glad you're on the show. What my father used to say, and he was not in the military, and we grew up in a neighborhood that was all organized crime. So maybe it had its form of I wouldn't even compare it to the military. It was just a crazy place. But he used to say, you got to be confident. You got to have self-esteem. People are not going to follow behind you if you don't have that air about you that, hey, we're going to take this hill. Is that the kind of stuff you teach?
As much as I think confidence is important, it's probably the fifth level of importance. Clarity and the ability to manage chaos, I think, is the top level of importance. And so having spent 23 years in the worst chaotic situations that you could imagine as a man, I found a way to boil it down to something that's learnable, and it's effective. And I believe in taking those basic things that can be learned and taking them to the point where they all fall apart. And that's what I do with clients. That may not make sense, but take everything that's basic to the level at which it falls apart and then tweak it a little bit.
Yeah. So let's get into it if we can. I don't want to take any book sales away from you, so don't give away too much information. But here I am. I'm in a very chaotic situation, shut down in 45 countries, can't put on events, had to furlough a giant part of the staff, have pissed off staff, have pissed off customers. I mean, I've just pissed everybody off, right? And And I got to somehow I got to inspire and lead and keep the team that's on motivated so that we're getting stuff done. So when the world opens back up, we hit the ground running. And some days I feel like I'm doing an okay job. This morning so far has been a shit job. Any tips?
Oh, yes. But it's not necessarily regarding your situation, it's everybody's. During these chaotic moments, like we all got kicked. We all got kicked in the butt. And what I found to be true as a SEAL and as somebody negotiating these obstacles now is it doesn't matter what the world gives you. You have to live your life. So I broke that down into what I call three simple things that are not negotiable in life. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have the COVID. And so that being the case during these shutdowns, to remind everybody that we're going to continue. It's just going to look different, but stay on point, like stay on point of your health, which is usually the first thing that falls in despair is when people get chaotic, they don't work out. Not necessarily in your, you know, the people that follow you, but leaders get in despair and they fall apart. They don't check themselves physically and they neglect the relationships that are key. And what I found to be truth in the SEAL teams is you got to stay in shape all the time and you have to keep the tight relationships that are valuable in the team and at home on point all the time. And it's very uncomfortable. And I just developed a system of what I call three things to address those topics daily and it'd be not negotiable. Like you still have to be a dad, whether you want to or not. And that be the key point of being successful.
So that makes sense to me. Going back to my dad, and it happens to all of us. Otherwise you wouldn't have wrote the book, right? Like when the shit starts hitting the fan, you might start eating devil dogs and Twinkies and not taking care of yourself, right? Because those are comfort foods for whatever reason. And then you're right. Then you're starting to neglect relationships. Like you're probably pointing more inward and contracting when in fact you're saying, hey, the standards can't change.
I want to also acknowledge you. I've sent probably 15 clients to the different variant of the Spartan initiatives that you have out there. Because I require everybody that goes through my training to have a commitment to themselves physically. And oddly, they like the Spartan stuff. And most of the leaders like it because they have to take their crew with them. So they have to lead and be in shape. And they like the whole dynamic. And I have a friend or a client that went through the one that you have in Iceland. I can't remember the name of it.
The Ultra World Championship.
Yeah. And so I want to acknowledge what you're putting out there because it helps a lot of human beings, whether you know that or not. I'm sure you do. And I just want to acknowledge you for that. And so all the athletes, like literally, I have to remind my clients, and just a reminder, all the Spartan racers. So what? There's no official race going on. Get better. Work on all your weaknesses now because the world will change back to something of normal. And if you're not careful, all the people that worked on themselves are going to surpass the ones that were on the top and just keep after it. So you get a longer break than you thought.
Yeah. I mean, a silly example would be, but it's hard to do, like you said, but a silly example would be with my children. I said, look, you guys play sports. Girls play soccer, the boys wrestle. Most of your competition is on their phones. They're at home. They're not working out. We should work out three times as much now. Yep. We'll surpass everybody. And now they have an advantage. They have a crazy dad who's forcing them to do it, right? But I agree. I agree with you. Look, it's the whole reason we exist as a company. We want to change 100 million lives. So I watched my dad do really well in business and do really poorly at home, mm-hmm. relationship area and in the food, health and wellness area. And it killed him. You know, he died probably 30 years too early. So So it's beyond being a good leader. It's also like, if you like your time on the planet, you probably want to listen to Tom Shea.
Yeah, that's what I found. And I you know, when I retired 7 years ago now, I had written a manuscript to my kids of all things that a SEAL should write to. And I wrote what I call 13 lessons to my kids. And one of those lessons was parents are important, whether you want them to be or not. And the original title of that book that was then called Unbreakable was originally Spartan Woman, because I wanted my kids to know that men literally suck unless they have a strong woman. And I wanted them to know that. And I'd gone through a divorce because I got to realize that firsthand, that if women aren't strong, men are really different. And I didn't try to steal from your nameology there at all. But so that what I found is, in retirement, training leaders in organizations, that no matter what I did for them, there is a drain that I couldn't account for. And that drain was the bullshit going on at home. Like, it was more important me to solve the marriage issue. Like, how do you treat a spouse? And miraculously, when the spouse stuff works, the businesses bloom at a level that they couldn't before. And health is correspondent to how well your relationship is at home. And having trained now 415 executives in the past 7 years, that's the referral. They're like, hey, you need to bring Tom in because relationship coach. And I'm like, please, I'm not a relationship coach. But I found it to be important. Like, if you don't have great people in your life, you can't get off the X every day.
And is it like, when you meet the execs, 400 plus execs, is it that simple? Is it like, hey, we're going to get your health and wellness in shape, and we're going to get your relationships in shape? Or is it, do you ascertain where they stand for, like, what do you do?
The idea is to, I'm going to show you a formula, like a written down formula. And I want to show you the things that prevent you from being successful. And oddly, when you put the words into the formula, it works 100% of the time. But what I found to be true is I have to address three points of failure. The first one is people don't know how to focus. Like, there's actually a process to focusing. And they don't. They never get taught how to focus. So that's the long enduring part of the training, is learning how to focus, mental, physical, and to be a process. The second one is ego and emotion. And teaching athletes, teaching leaders, teaching women, whoever, about emotions and ego, when they learn that, they are profoundly affected. Because emotions are why people make bad decisions, not good ones. Like, you don't ever make a good decision emotionally. Athletes make horrible decisions because they base decisions on how they feel. They base the next day on how they feel emotionally. And there's an actual thing to do to learn how to deal with that differently. And then the third tool to success is how to fail. Like, literally, program failure makes you better. You can see it in the Spartan race every time. What do you do when things don't work out? That's what you should train to do. Train to not working out, train till it fails. Like, do something until you can't do it anymore. Now you're going to start to learn. And then taking executives to failure is uncomfortable because they don't like that. They feel that failure is not the solution. Well, as a leader, you better get used to failing, because everything falls apart every day that ends in Y, whether your head's in the ground or not. So those three processes become a long enduring training that I wish I could shorten it, but I haven't been able to do it in less than 90 days.
Once I'm able to get people to come back to the office, right now I'm finding that challenging. We got to get you in there. So focus, don't make decisions emotionally, and then embrace failure.
Yep. Embrace it, like, train for it.
Yeah.
Which was the great thing about being a SEAL, is because it was all failure. Nothing ever works out. And if it does, they'll just make it worse. And that lifestyle became a great way to be, is get used to things not being well ever. And raising three kids. It was a great way to be a dad because nothing ever worked out, in my opinion. And now my daughter finally graduated beautifully from West Point this year, and she's in pilot training in Alabama. And she embraces things when they're bad. And so she's good at the bad things. So she's able to do really well at that leadership stuff that they ask officers to do.
I love it. I love it. And congrats on that graduation. A buddy of mine just went into West Point. Beautiful campus. You must be a very proud dad.
Yeah, isn't that the most beautiful campus that you could ever, you know, to walk through or participate in? Yeah. And my dad was a graduate. I went and then sucked and failed out after 3 years. And my daughter breezed through like it wasn't an issue at all.
That's awesome. What, and I mean, is it as simple as taking, if we wanted to just give some bite-sized pieces to our audience, the Spartan audience, is it as simple as those three things?
We'll be right back to this interview, but I want to talk to you a little bit about Gone Rogue chips. These are not your ordinary chips. They have less than 2 carbs per ounce. They're made for people like you. They're made from real, fresh chicken, never from frozen, and it's baked to a crunch and seasoned with spices. They have flavors like chicken bacon, barbecue chicken, buffalo-style chicken, teriyaki chicken, and the flavors don't come from bottled smoke flavor. The chicken is smoked in a smokehouse with a blend of hickory hardwoods for an authentic smoky taste. So the Gone Rogue chips, they're light, they're fast. They're great for before or after your workout. They're easy. They're super portable. It's an easy way to get your fix with a crunch of a chip and the protein of a jerky. Visit Amazon or GoneRogueSnacks.com and use the promo code Spartan25 to get 25% off.
Is it as simple as those three things? Like, hey, don't make decisions emotionally. Make sure you focus, especially in this new world where we're like addicted to devices and our heads are all over the place. And I'm terrible at focusing, but I got to fix that. And then practice failure. Fail the obstacles. Do 30 burpees. Matter of fact, maybe we should start a new Tom Shea race where they go through the Spartan race and they don't even, they're not allowed to pass any obstacle. They got to do 30 burpees anyway.
Do the obstacle and do the burpees.
Do the 30 burpees. I like it.
I think it's simple, but it's not easy. So transform those two words. I can break it down to this. A 6-hour baseline that's not negotiable during everybody's day. 6 hours, wake up, and for 30 minutes, move every joint, turn on all your senses, and either pray or meditate or tell yourself what you're going to do that day. I just develop a process that you have to write down. It kind of would be hard to discuss in detail, but so that's 30 minutes of what I call spiritual time. It's not negotiable and you have to do it every day that ends in Y. And the compounding effect of that 30 minutes of your day is most important that I've seen in anybody's life. And I saw nobody doing it. They just get up, drink coffee and go to work. So they skip one of the most important steps in the world.
You mean of the 400 plus executives you've coached, none of them were doing the 30-minute non-negotiable every morning?
No, none of them were doing spiritual time. They would pray, but there has to be, your body has to be able to absorb what you're asking it to do. Not athletically, but emotionally, physically, spiritually, you have to turn on the system, and nobody was doing that. So 30 minutes spiritual time. Then oddly, the hardest thing that I can't get a client to do it in less than 3 months. So it takes, you have to do all this 6-hour baseline I'm discussing in 21 days. You have to do it for 21 days straight. Once you do that, you'll not be able to stop it. So 3 hours of spirit or 30 minutes of spiritual, then 30 minutes of relational every day. You cannot negotiate with it. And it has to be in the morning. It can't be at night. So the morning relational time, I broke down to these three things. The first thing you do with your spouse, whether you're a woman or man, your spouse, whoever that is, or lover, or kids, if everybody's dead, but you have somebody that you're related to, you have to listen to what they're committed to for 10 minutes. They get to speak. You can't counter it. If they want to be an underwater builder or welder, you have to acknowledge it and say, yes, I agree. Then you get to speak committedly to them. So 10 minutes of you declaring who you are to them, what you're going to do that day. It could be basic. Hey, Joe, I'm going to go do a a marathon today. Cool. Joe knows me now. He's related to me. And then 10 minutes of intimacy every day. So listen, speak, and have intimacy every day. I still haven't been able to get an executive to do that for 21 days straight. It takes them 3 months. Once they do that, their business makes money. Like everybody around them now has a different lifestyle. And then what I call the 90 minutes of you have to work out for an hour a day relative to what you're committed to. So if you're a Spartan racer, you have to do Spartan activity for an hour. Then you have to stretch for 20 minutes, which is the hardest thing for every human to do, to be mobile and limber. And then drink 10 glasses of water. So now we're 30, 30, and 90. And then in business, you have to spend an hour a day trying to find a new client. An hour dedicated to new client acquisition. And then an hour a day dealing with existing clients and an hour a day being strategic. So that's 3 hours of spiritual. Then you have to, in intellectual, you have to learn something new every day. You have to get better at something you've already learned, and you have to let yourself dream unencumbered. So that equals a 6 hour baseline. And it takes me 90 days to get a client to acquire that baseline. And the CEOs love me. They're like, a 3 hour workday, I'm done. I'm actually done at the end of the end of 3 hours. Now it's all just social networking. And so it's lethal. Lethal athletically too.
I love it. You know, I you and I are so aligned. The 21 day thing, we're very aligned on that. Unbreakable, obviously we're very aligned, this whole unbreakable mindset. Waking up early and getting it done. My wife just walked in the kitchen. The one place I'm failing, Tom, is I gotta give her 10 minutes every morning based on your new system. Meet retired Navy SEAL, Tom.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you.
Tom.
So we're giving you 10 minutes a day for the rest of your life.
Like the best. You're my favorite guy ever. I don't know about the other guys. He's the best one. 10 minutes a day of just like hugging and talking and like hand holding and just talking.
He's got to listen. He has to listen.
Oh, I like him. Keep talking. I gotta head out, but very nice to meet
Tom,
you.
Tom, you're breaking up. It's all static.
What's Tom doing? He's kidding.
So obviously the working out part, the water, all that stuff. The area I need work in is in the area, in the snuggling area. The snuggling, the listening. Which it sounds like most of your executives have that issue, but once they fix it, and I loved your sentence, has a compounding effect.
I'm a math nerd. I have to measure everything. I think it's a genetic weakness. Like if it doesn't have a measurable outcome that has a math related to, like a 3x or a 2x, and if I work out, if I can't get better at it, like at a factor of something, I'm not interested. And one of my idiot savant friends, who's a mathematician. I put him through the training and he goes, here's the formula. Spiritual is a 13X of you being better at things. So if you spend 30 minutes a day doing those spiritual things, turn on your senses, move every joint and muscle and pray or read the formula is what I teach people to do. That has a 13x compounding effect in your life. Like you're better at relationship because I did that 30 minutes of spiritual. And then the spirit, and then the relational has a 7x factor. I'm like, well, 7x. If I spend time with Stacy and I listen to her and she gets to listen to me and then we have some kind of intimacy, I'm actually a better athlete. And when you prove that to yourself, because otherwise it's a drain. Like if you don't listen to your wife or your kids, you don't know what they're doing that day. You actually have a drain plug in your athletic performance that you can't plug up with more athleticism. So 13, 7, those three things in wealth are a 5X factor. Like if you do them, you'll get better at a factor of 5. Athletics, if you just do those three things every day of the week, even if you're sick, you have to move. You get better at a 4X. So that'd be an interesting way to look at the mathematics behind, if you want to X factor it, What am I willing to give up each day? None of it. Like, it's not negotiable. And what was the hardest thing for me to do is to have executives understand that what you do at home affects how much money you make at work. Like, I'm already a multimillionaire. Okay, got it. So let's talk about home. Like, I don't care about home. First, the third client I trained, not to belabor it, third client I trained was on his seventh marriage. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting. He goes, but I'm not going to talk about it. Okay, but I'm not going to train you then. So if we're not going to be able to put everything on the table and make it better, then it's not worth, you know, the time spent. After a year-long training, he got his whole house together. They met. He hadn't seen his 18-year-old son in 17 years. So they all met at his house, and Stacy and I flew out there. And he said, this is the most important thing I've ever done, is put my family together. And he went out and bought, because he's an acquisition guy, so he bought the Prince brand as we were working together. He says, I can't work with women. And the owner of Prince was a woman. He goes, I want the brand, but I can't deal with women. I'm like, well, that's silly. You just don't know how to listen to him. So taught him the art and the skill, if you will, of listening to what women are capable of doing, not what they've done to you. And that was brilliant for him. And that's probably why I spent a lot of time talking about relationships, because without them, all the stuff that you're doing doesn't go very far.
No, it doesn't count for nothing. And definitely, you know, I guess if there's some pillars every day that we lean on, we probably all lean too heavily on one or two and not enough on the others, right?
Yep. Everybody's good at one. Either somebody's really good at business and sucks at the rest, or they're really great athlete, but they can't find a dollar in a bank, you know, or they're really spiritual, but they can't do anything with it. And I'm more interested in having it all. Maybe not performing at the 1% level, the top 1%, but boy, the 3% level, you can achieve a lot more, but you're just never number one. I've never known somebody who's number one that's good at everything. But number two seems to be really great at everything. And I learned that from a bunch of SEALs. Being number one is a dubious honor, but being number two, be able to sustain yourself for a lifetime.
What happened in your life that triggered all this? I know you wrote this letter to your kids, but what was it that really bubbled all this up?
I was in a combat engagement in Afghanistan in 2009. And like, you know, SEALs go to war. That's what you do. It's like Spartan racers race. That's the deal. And war is the greatest teacher of what is real. And we got overrun on one of the targets. And I had been blown up into a room. I thought I was dying. And I had heard myself say, you're dead. I could remember me repeating, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. And my body's like, yep, if you want to be dead, just keep saying that, because we're not going to respond. Like, all my cells were like, okay, we're just going to sit here. And my wife and I was having dreams about my family. Literally, you have dreams when you're dying about your family. I've heard everybody say that. And in that half a second that seemed like a lifetime, my wife, Stacy, grabbed my face in my dream and said, don't fear dying. It makes you weak. I want you to fight your way back to us. Either come fight, but don't sit there. That was how I processed what she was saying. And I rallied. And in the process of rallying, I found out that simple wins. I knew I could shoot well, but I was panicking. Emotionally, I was panicking. And I thought to myself, fuck, I don't want to be lone survivor. And I started cowering in the corner. It's hard to admit, but that was the truth. And in that process of getting myself out of the stupid conundrum of combat, I said, I'm just going to take one more step. And that one step is dangerous, you know? So I ended up rallying, shot a guy at 600 yards that had me pinned down into the room, in the room I was in, and then found my guys were in the same predicament. They were in a state of, we're all dead. We can't even get out of this space, and we're running out of ammo. So I rallied them by just tasking them to do simple shit. Hey, Mike, hey, John, you take all their grenades, throw them over the wall, and when you're done, come back. Other two guys get all the 40 millimeters, shoot them over the walls, or out of the compound so that to prevent them from moving, and do it until you're dead or you run out of ammo. And then, so we broke out of the room. We were in a big compound surrounded by four walls. And so we broke out of the compound or out of the room. Grenades are going over the wall. Grenades are coming back in. Guys were calmly grabbing the grenades, throwing them back over the wall. A 45-minute firefight, we're now out of ammo. And in that moment of, wow, now what do? We're in the middle of combat and we have no ammo left. A B-1 bomber checked on to the scene. And we talked him into our position, and I said, hey, you're cleared to bomb us, like drop on us. And the guys were like, yes, drop it on us. And I thought for sure the bomb was going to kill us, big 2,000-pound bomb. He dropped it a little bit further away than the X that we were on, killed 36 Taliban during the explosion, and we all survived, which was miraculous. And at that moment, I'm like, you know what? Simple wins. If you don't get down on yourself, if you have focus, keep going, have clarity, and don't worry about how fucked up things are. Like, it's always bad. If you just keep moving and don't get all emotional about things, you can accomplish a great amount of, you know, upside. And then I thought, how the hell do I teach somebody that? But that was the big clear moment in my life is...
But you forgot the most important one. Make sure you have a friend that's flying a B-1 bomber.
That will drop on you. He was crying when he dropped. I've never met the pilot. I'd like to meet him. But when he dropped, he was crying into his headset because he thought for sure we'd all die. Ah.
Well, that's an incredible, incredible story. And it's good to know where the system comes from. But you're right. It's life, right? It's got to be simple.
Simple. You know, I bet you probably have a level of what you've seen, how the great athletes do it. And I bet guaranteed they break it down to simple. They practice and they break it down to not complex movement, very simple. Don't disturb anything. Just make it very, very easy and simple, but do a lot of it. That to me is life.
Yeah, we've met a lot of Olympians, right? Control yourself, control your environment, control your situation. Just very, very simple thing. You could have decision fatigue if there's just too much going on, which it sounds like you might have had at that moment.
Yeah.
But
then focus on the one. Yeah. Do the one and then do the other one. Yeah.
All right, Tom. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, sir.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Gone Rogue High Protein Chips. Visit Amazon or GoneRogueSnacks.com and use the promo code Spartan25 to get 25% off.